Benedict crossed the Tiber River Saturday to pay an official visit to Italy's head of state, President Giorgio Napolitano. The visit at the Quirinal Palace here in Rome follows the president's own audience with Pope Benedict in the Vatican on November 20, 2006. Chris Altieri tells us more.
Pope Benedict's trip to the former papal summer residence on top of Rome's Quirinal Hill on Saturday was his second official visit to the palace that is now home to the President of Italy.
Signor Presidente, l'odierna mia visita ha luogo nel giorno in cui l'Italia celebra con grande solennità il suo speciale protettore, San Francesco d'Assisi.
In remarks to Italy's President Giorgio Napolitano, Pope Benedict noted that his visit coincides with the feast of Italy's patron, Saint Francis of Assisi. Pope Benedict said the choice of Saint Francis as Italy's patron is rooted in the profound correlation between the character and actions of the poor man of Assisi and the noble Italian nation. The Pope went on to say the figure of St. Francis is one that attracts believers and non-believers alike, and that in Francis' relationship with civil society we find the image of the Church's eternal mission.
Per portare a compimento questa sua missione,
in order to carry out her mission, said Pope Benedict, the Church must enjoy the right to religious freedom considered in all its breadth. Citing his address to the United Nations this past April, the Pope said the full guarantee of religious liberty cannot be limited to the free exercise of worship, but has to give due consideration to the public dimension of religion, and hence to the possibility of believers playing their part in building the social order. The Holy Father concluded with the words of his predecessor, Blessed John XXIII, who made a pilgrimage to Assisi on the eve of the Second Vatican Council.
Tu, Italia diletta, alle cui sponde venne a fermarsi la barca di Pietro,
O beloved Italy, to whose shores Peter's bark came to rest, and for this reason from all ports the several peoples of the world come to you, who welcome them with respect and love, may you keep the sacred testament to which you are committed before heaven and earth. God bless and protect Italy and all her inhabitants. I'm Chris Altieri.
Linda Bordoni sat down with our resident Vatican expert, Joan Lewis, who gives us some insight into the historic relationship between the papacy and Italian heads of state. Let's listen.
It will be a very interesting visit, and I say will be because we're recording this just before the Pope leaves the Vatican. The Quirinale Palace, it's on the Quirinale Hill, which is the tallest of the seven hills of Rome, as a matter of fact. And the building is now the official residence of the president of the Italian Republic. And the interesting thing is when you're an ambassador and you're accredited to Italy, you're often called the ambassador to the Quirinale, to distinguish them also as being the ambassador to the Vatican. But the palace, of course, is located on the Via del Quirinale, what else? And it was built in 1573 by Pope Gregory XIII as a papal summer residence. It was also used as the location, and I hadn't known this, for papal conclaves, four of them, 1823, 1829, 1831, and 1846. And it served as a papal residence, as we said, and housed the central offices responsible for the civil government of the then papal states, which occupied quite a bit of territory in the area we now, of course, call the Republic of Italy. And the papal states existed until 1870. And they were overthrown. Italy was putting itself together as a kingdom first and then as the republic that we know today. And the new kingdom of Italy was born in 1871. Rome became the capital. And eventually this passed into civil hands. And as we said today, it is now the official home of the president. But even when there were kings, you had King Victor Emmanuel III And he reigned until 1946 when Italy became a republic. And he actually lived in a private residence elsewhere. And you and I were talking before the show, some like President Sandro Pertini liked his little home. It was near the Trevi Fountain, which, of course, was actually close by.
Which is close by, exactly.
Yeah. And so the Quirinale was used for formal meetings, heads of state, and dinners and things like that. Now, Pope Benedict, when he visits very, very shortly, this will be his second visit to the Quirinale Palace, but it will be the ninth of a pope, his second and the ninth, and his predecessors, starting with Pius XII, who went in 1939. So that would have been actually shortly after he was elected.
And well, because that's because historic relations changed at a certain point
between
the church and the state with the Lateran Pacts, right?
Well, in 1929, you had a pact between the church and the government of Italy resolving what was called the Roman Question.
Right.
And for the first time in 50 years, popes actually even left, Vatican City. But Vatican City as a sovereign entity was created with the Lateran Pacts. And then you had kind of a different relationship between...
Really separated church and state.
Exactly. And so... But there were many, many years when the popes didn't leave to go anywhere, including their own, St. John Lateran Cathedral. So Pius XII went in 39, and the Lateran Pacts, if we failed to say that, were signed on February 11th, 1929. So next year is our Vatican City, our 80th
anniversary.
Independence Day, if you will. Yeah.
Right.
And then we have quite a few years go by, and John the 23rd visited on July 3rd, 1962, and Paul the 6th visited in 1966. Then we again have a passage of quite a few years. John Paul I did not live long enough to do anything like that. And then John Paul the 2nd went quite a number of times, three or four times, I think, to the Quirinale. But I have to say something really amusing. Benedict's first visit was on June 24th, 2005. Of course, he'd been pope for, 2 months or something. And he went to visit the president of Italy, and the motorcade stopped in Pius XII Square, and then he was greeted by representatives of the state of Italy. So there was this kind of handing over from, Vatican territory, now the state of Italy, and then you're accompanied to the Quirinale. And in an open car, he had this wonderful visit. He came back. And I have to tell you, when the Pope left, we were in the press office, and the car was going to go right by us. So, of course, we're all standing out on the sidewalk with thousands of tourists. Pope goes by in this open car, and I have to tell you, he had sunglasses on. The crowd was hysterical. I was hysterical. None of us had ever seen a pope with sunglasses.
Right.
It was a wonderful thing to see. And he had a wonderful talk, and the content of many of the speeches is very similar. The relations, church and state, two distinct entities, but they really should work hand in hand. And the popes have always mentioned in particular the healthy laicism of the state that is required, but for heaven's sakes, you can't discard a religion from the public life. And they devote a lot of attention to protection of the family, protection of human life, and to the parents' responsibility to freely choose how and where to educate their children. And we even had a recent speech by Pope Benedict who said, much as he did in 2005, what I'm talking about now. He spoke about the need for Catholic schools to be really on a par with state-run schools, and parents should be able to freely choose their schools. So the content is always pretty much the same. The two separate spheres, church and state, but there also must be working hand in hand, and the church has so very much to offer. Its history, obviously, with this country goes back millennia.
And thanks there to EWTN Bureau Chief Joan Lewis, our resident Vatican expert here in Rome. She was talking there to Linda Bordoni.